وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَّبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ.
Never have we sent a prophet to a place without trying its people with adversity and hardship, that they may humble themselves.
ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ حَتَّى عَفَوْا وَقَالُوا قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
Then we changed adversity into ease until they thrived and said, "Our forefathers had also seen both adversity and prosperity. So we suddenly seized them without their even perceiving it." After narrating individually the stories of how various nations responded to the message of their prophets, the Quran now spells out the general rule which has been operative throughout the ages. First, before the appearance of a prophet in any nation, conditions that would conduce to the acceptance of his message were created. This was usually done by subjecting the nations concerned to a variety of afflictions and punishments. They were made to suffer miseries such as famine, epidemics, colossal losses in trade and business, defeat in war. Such events usually have a healthy impact on people. They lead to a softening in their hearts. They generate humility and modesty. They enable people to shake off their pride and shatter their reliance on wealth and power, and induce them to trust the one who is all-powerful and fully controls their destiny. Above all, such events incline people to heed the words of warning and to turn to God in humility. But if the people continue to refrain from embracing the truth, they are subjected to another kind of test, that of affluence. This last test signals the beginning of their destruction. Rolling in abundant wealth and luxury, people are inclined to forget the hard times they have experienced. Their foolish leaders also inculcate in their minds an altogether preposterous concept of history. They explain the rise and fall of nations, and the alternation of prosperity and adversity among human beings by reference to blind natural forces, and in total disregard of moral values. Hence, if a nation is seized by an affliction or scourge, such people see no reason why it should be explained in terms of moral failure. They are rather inclined to consider that a person's readiness to heed moral admonition or to turn humbly towards God is a sign of psychological infirmity. This foolish mentality has been portrayed all too well by the Prophet, peace be upon him. A believer continually faces adversity until he comes out of it purified of his sins. As for the hypocrite, his likeness in adversity is that of a donkey who does not know why his master had tied him and why he later released him. Hence, when a people become so hard of heart that they neither turn to God in suffering nor thank him for his bounties in prosperity, they are liable to be destroyed at any moment. It should be noted that the above rule, which was applied to the nations of the previous prophets, was also applied in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When this surah was revealed to the Quraysh, displayed exactly the same characteristics and attitudes as those nations which had earlier been destroyed. According to a tradition narrated by both Abdullah bin Mas'ud and Abdullah bin Abbas, as the Quraysh grew in defiance to the Prophet's call, he prayed to God that he might be assisted by inflicting famine on the Quraysh, as in the days of the Prophet Joseph, peace be upon him. Accordingly, God subjected the Quraysh to such a severe famine that they took to subsisting on carcasses, the skins of animals, bones, and wool. Unnerved by this, the Quraysh, led by Abu Sufyan, implored the Prophet, peace be upon him, to pray to God on their behalf. But when the Prophet's prayer helped to improve the situation somewhat, the Quraysh reverted to their arrogant and ignorant ways. The wicked ones among them tried to dissuade from God those who had derived some lesson from the famine. They argue that famines take place in course of operation of natural laws, that they are merely a recurrent physical phenomenon. They emphasize that the occurrence of famine should not mislead people into believing in Muhammad, peace be upon him. It was during this time that the surah under discussion was revealed. The above verses were thus quite relevant, and it is against this backdrop that one appreciates their full significance.
وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ
Had the people of those towns believed and been God-fearing, we would certainly have opened up to them blessings from the heavens and the earth. But they gave the lie to their prophets, and so we seized them for their deeds.
أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ
Do the people of those towns feel secure that our punishment will not come to them at night while they are asleep?
أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ
Or do the people of those towns feel secure that our punishment will not come to them by daylight while they are at play?
أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ
Do they feel secure against the design of Allah? None can feel secure against the design of Allah except the utter losers. Do they feel secure against the design of Allah? The expression makr signifies a secret strategy of which the victim has no inkling until the decisive blow is struck. Until then, the victim is under the illusion that everything is in good order.